At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solution with exceptional fall through. Nice to have you with us live here from the second tournament of the Texas Swing at the Valero Texas Open. We got Charlie Epps with us. Charlie, you know, what a week here at the oldest event on the Texas Swing. You know, past champions, Arnold Palmer in 61, 62, Chichi Rodriguez in 67. You know, Gene Sarazen was a runner-up here back in 32. Ben Hogan won in 46. This is just an incredible tournament. Great setup they have here at the Oaks Course at TPC San Antonio. How are you this morning, Charlie?
You know, I'm highly motivated, as always, on Saturday morning to talk golf. It sounds like you're having a great time over in San Antonio. It's a wonderful tournament. The golf course is really demanding. I mean, you really got to be in shape to walk this golf course. It's beautiful. It's a golf course designed by Greg Norman, I believe, and Sergio Garcia, so we're going to have a great show.
No, you're 100% correct. And Charlie, I mean, you know, the weather here in San Antonio can just be such a major factor. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you had lows in the 80s and highs got to, you know, around the 90s. You know, yesterday, the first round and second round, fairly hot. This morning, we're here at the golf course, and it's windy. It's a little chilly. Highs now in the low 70s, and I feel, you know, you have a perfect 36-hole leader in 2023 Open champion Brian Harman. You know, he knows how to handle some weather, but, you know, talk about how the conditions can just change a lot here in San Antonio and how much the Texas winds can have an effect on the players.
Well, we're in spring, and spring you never know what the weather's going to have for you, and it comes up from the north. And the spring winds are very inconsistent. So they can get up to 20, 25 miles an hour, and then they'll stop. So the player is going to really have to play very smart golf with winds like this. If you know the winds, and there in San Antonio, there's little mountains, little hills, and those winds come through those mountains or hills, if you will, and you can't really feel them. So good luck to the players.
And the same goes on the putting greens, right, Charlie? I mean, putting in the hill country, it's tough to pick up some of these, you know, subtle slopes and undulations on the greens here.
Yes, sir. You got that right. The golf course is on a piece of land that's right through a little valley and those ups and downs, those little nuances of the hill country, mountains. Are they not mountains? They're hills, but it adds to the science of trying to make a putt from 7 to 10 feet because there's hidden breaks in those greens that it's hard for the players to pick up if they haven't ever played there.
Charlie, your student, four-time PGA Tour winner, Blaine McAllister, he won here in 1991, you know, birdied the second extra hole in a playoff to defeat Gary Hallberg by a single stroke. Were you on property here with McAllister that week?
Oh, well, sure, yeah, that was very exciting. I actually played in that tournament. I played in the San Antonio Open quite a few
That's
times
right.
because of my membership in the Southern Texas PGA. And I've always enjoyed the hospitality that San Antonio has, but it's really grown into a big city. And where you are it's probably a 40-minute drive to where we used to play it at Oak Hills. So the population of San Antonio has really risen.
No, that's right. You know, went from Brackenridge to Oak Hill, a number of other golf courses. Before it made its home, here at the Oaks course at TPC San Antonio. Charlie, we were supposed to get Larson Siegerdahl, the tournament director of the Valero Texas Open, on at 8:15. He might not make it with us, but, I got to commend him for 1 second. He's done a great job, I don't want to say resurrecting, but bringing an elite field back to San Antonio. I mean, just looking here in the early 90s, the late 80s, early 90s, 92, Nick Price, 91, Blaine McAllister, 1990, Marco Mira, who we'll get to in a second. Charlie, you were at the Insperity Invitational Media Day earlier this week, and O'Mara is going to join the Greats of Golf there at the Woodlands Tournament course. But as far as San Antonio, 1990, Marco Mira, 88, Corey Pavin, 87, Tom Watson, 86, Ben Crenshaw, 1985, your good friend John Mahaffey won this golf tournament. This was really 81, Bill Rogers. This was a staple, on the PGA Tour. And then I think in, the early 2000s, the field maybe just not as strong in this week before Augusta. But the last 2 years, I got to credit Larson Siegerdahl. Does a great job getting a good field to this tournament. Akshay Bhatia was your defending champion. He missed the cut. But once again, Jordan Spieth in contention, Brian Harman in the lead, Mr. Siegerdahl, really an incredible job. And how about this, Charlie? I'm sure the number has raised, but in 2022, the Valero Texas Open raised a record-breaking $22 million for the 100th anniversary of the tournament for charity. That raised the tournament total to $209 million over the years, and probably more at this point. They keep charity at the forefront of this event, Charlie.
Well, they sure do, and thanks to the Valero company that became the title sponsor when Houston gave up its dates, and San Antonio was able to take over the dates of Houston just before the Masters, and the tournament's grown in stature. Your field is correct. There's a lot of guys that like to play before the week before the Masters, and there's some that don't. So it was fun seeing Jack Nicklaus on property yesterday. I was watching the telecast, and Jack is there. Yep. I'm not sure why, but I know he's not in the lineup.
No, Charlie, he's not. He had a Folds of Honor dinner last night here at the Marriott on property, and it's interesting. Mr. Nicklaus never played this golf tournament, had been back to San Antonio in 23 years. He said it just never fit on his schedule, but he was here for a dinner last night. He was kind enough to join Smiley Kaufman and Jordan Spieth and Maverick McNealy on the happy hour. It was really just an incredible scene there on the 16th tee box, the par 3, where Tony Finau made a hole-in-one yesterday. But Mr. Nicklaus looked phenomenal, Charlie. Well-spoken on the broadcast. I thought he said a lot of good things. And it was great to see, the Golden Bear out here a couple weeks before we see him at the Insperity Invitational in the Woodlands. Charlie, how was that media day this week?
The media day was very, very, very nice. It was an event held for the sponsors of the event. Brian Noggles and his staff did a wonderful job. We had the defending champion there on property, Nick Dunlop, and it was a great day. My team didn't win it, but we sure did have a lot of fun.
Well, no, that's and we have really an incredible tournament coming up as far as PGA Tour champions and. In Houston, everyone needs to get out to the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course April 28th through May 4th. If you can't make it to the event for some reason, that's no problem. You get 3 days of tournament coverage on Golf Channel, Friday, May 2nd to Sunday, May 4th. 6 hours of national and international coverage that's going to reach over 77 million U.S. households. And Charlie, you know, I would say that the best time of this tournament, Saturday afternoon around 2 p.m., you've got the Folds of Honor, Greats of Golf competition, and the tournament just announced. You know, not only is Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and Gary Player going to be there, you know, Laura Davies and you know, Pat Bradley, but Marco Mira, Curtis Strange, and Sir Nick Faldo now join the Greats of Golf. That's, you know, that those are three legendary names to be joining the pack there at the Woodlands, Charlie.
Oh yeah, it's a wonderful day, and it's fun to see the senior golfers, champions golfers play, but also the super seniors, gentlemen like Nicklaus. He's 85 years old, and he still comes and shows up and promotes golf, and he likes to answer questions, and he's right in the mix of it, and a lot of other. The one name I didn't see is Gary Player coming this year.
Well, in the press release, you know, I can go back and double check, but in the press release, it sounded like O'Meara, Faldo, and Strange were joining. I believe the three names: Jack Nicklaus, Lee Trevino, and Gary Player. I'll double check that on break, Charlie. But unless you've heard otherwise, I believe Mr. Player will be there again.
Oh, yeah. So those guys are so entertaining, and. You know, and the entry to the tournament is free. It's Faraday and its sponsors. You know, they love to welcome people to come and see their activities and their product and the champion players. So I recommend to everybody, come on out to the Woodlands, the side of the Faraday Invitational. It's a record prize that the low professional is going to get, but it's just so much fun. And bring the kids. The kids will enjoy it too.
Yeah, Charlie, Junior Day is the Tuesday of the tournament. They're going to have a clinic. They're going to have a pro-am. Great time for juniors to come out and watch. Practice rounds are Monday and Tuesday. You know, those are great days to get a feel of what players are working on as well. So a lot to look forward to. There at the Woodlands Country Club, April 28th through May 4th. And let me take you through what we have here in Texas coming up as far as the professional game is concerned. It started last week with the Houston Open, as far as the Texas Children's Houston Open at Memorial Park, where Minwoo Lee won his first PGA Tour event. We'll talk about that, here on the other side. The tour is in San Antonio through this weekend as we're at the midway point of the Valero Texas Open. On April 24th through the 27th, you have the Chevron Championship coming to Houston at Carlton Woods. That's the first LPGA major of the year. It's going to take place the same weekend as the Veritex Bank Championship in Arlington as the Corn Ferry Tour comes to Texas. Then a week later, you not only have the Insperity Invitational in the Woodlands, Texas, you also have the CJ Cup and Byron Nelson traveling to Dallas that week. So a lot to look forward to as far as the Texas game is concerned, with the PGA Tour traveling to Texas. And on the other side, we'll get to 26-year-old Australian Minwoo Lee winning his first PGA Tour title at the Texas Children's Houston Open. And Charlie, I got us a guest this morning who's going to join us in the next two segments. It's former PGA Tour caddy and current NBC analyst John Wood. He's going to join us here in the next two segments at some point. Caddied for Matt Kuchar, caddied for Hunter Mahan, caddied for Mark Calciavecchia. Great insight on the game of golf. We got to take a quick break. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Brian Harmon leads the way here at the Valero Texas Open by 4 shots over Keith Mitchell.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Well, we'll get to everything as far as the Valero Texas Open over the next three segments. John Wood, We're trying to get you a guest here to give you a little bit more insight as far as the Vallejo Texas Open. John Wood going to join us here in a few minutes. He caddied for Matt Kuchar and Hunter Mahan for 20-plus years on the PGA Tour. Now just a sensational on-course analyst for NBC Sports. John Wood, one of my favorite voices out there for sure. But, Charlie, let's review the Texas Children's Houston Open for just 1 second. It was really a sensational finish at Memorial Park Golf Course last week with Minwoo Lee shooting 20 under par and winning his first PGA Tour victory at 26 years old in his 56th career tour start. Gary Woodland and Scottie Scheffler were the runner-up at 19 under. Charlie, your thoughts on that, you know, fabulous finish at Memorial Park last Sunday?
Yes, sir, it sure was. And the golf course was really in prime condition for the boys to come in and enjoy the Memorial Park, the municipal golf course that everybody can play if they come to Houston, and all the residents play the golf course. But the course was really a good challenge for the golf professionals, and I really enjoyed being out there and watching it. And what a great story about Gary Woodland. Here he was 3 years ago with brain tumors. And all of a sudden, you know, he went into the knife, and they corrected some things, and now he's playing golf just like he was when he won the U.S. Open. That was so heartwarming to see Gary come back from a very, very delicate operation, and brain surgery is never easy. But congratulations to Jim Crane and his staff. They put on a wonderful show.
And I talked to Gary, you know, this week in San Antonio, Charlie, and it's really amazing what he's going through. And, you know, he actually still has a little bit of a tumor, in his brain right now, but it is benign, but there's still a little bit there. The surgery was successful. And last week, you're right, you know, we saw Gary finish, you know, have his best finish since winning the U.S. Open in 2019. And he talked this week about how much work his caddy has to do out there, and how, you know, Gary talked about how after his surgery, you know, he can't really think ahead. It actually wears him out to get ahead of himself. And, you know, he credited his caddy a ton, has him doing all the work out there. You know, Gary said he had to take Tuesday off after the Houston Open to kind of rejuvenate. Still gets tired a lot. But nonetheless, he is very excited about his game. Charlie, he loves the work that him and Randy Smith are doing right now. And the amount of confidence that Gary says Randy is instilling in him has really, you know, made the difference as far as, you know, the belief in his golf game right now.
Oh, you can see it as he walks down the fairways, and he's smiling, and he's really, really thankful that he was able to return to the game he loved, and then have that success. So it's going to be fun to see him as he moves through this year, but I'm so happy for him.
100%. Tied second last week for 2019 U.S. Open champion Gary Woodland. He's back in the field this week and made the cut on the number. So Gary Woodland's going to get two more rounds of competitive golf this weekend. Scottie Scheffler also played very well in Houston last week. I mean, just so close to you know, really, Scheffler played phenomenal all last week. I mean, 70, 67, 64, 60, I'm sorry, 60 set for Scheffler, 67, 62, 69, 63. Had it not been for just a little bit of faulty putting in that third round, and I think Scottie Scheffler would have been your champion last week. He played so well on Sunday en route to that Sunday 63. I think world number one, he's ready for the Masters tournament, Charlie.
Oh, you better believe it. And he's not disappointed with that finish, because I know that he really can look at all the statistics for that week at the Houston tournament, and his game is spot on. So watch out at Augusta.
I completely agree, Charlie. We saw, you know, Scheffler, while he hasn't won so far yet this year, you know, has not finished outside the top 25 since returning from the little hand incident over Christmas. And I think the best thing for him coming out of the Houston Open is he had his best week on the green so far this season rolling into the Masters Tournament. And I think once Scheffler gets just a little bit of confidence with that putter, it's, the rest of the field has to watch out. Now, reviewing one more thing at the Houston Open, I thought Minwoo Lee, the champion at 26 years old, he was due for his first PGA Tour victory. Charlie, we've had Steve Elkington on the show twice, a two-time Players Champion, and he's been very high on Minwoo Lee. Thought that was one of the best juniors coming out of Australia a few years ago. And, you know, now we saw him last week win the Houston Open with just incredible iron play, an incredible short game, and great putting. I was most surprised that Minwoo Lee only hit 22 of 52 fairways en route to his title in Houston. Here was more from Min on that.
You got to kind of, I think, obviously we know the rough isn't that thick this week, but it was nearly, you know, there's a few holes out there where you got to kind of keep it in play. And, I think I did a pretty good job for the majority of it to hit it on the right side and the correct side. And, I guess it's not textbook, but it's one of those golf courses where you can... and that's why I did play. If it was a short and quirky golf course, I probably wouldn't have played. So, I didn't know that I was going to play a couple events after the Masters. So it was one of those to add in. And at the time when, you know, I got told I was playing, I wasn't very, very happy and very, but, you know, I'm very glad that my team put me in this event. And, it's awesome.
He's happy now, huh, Charlie?
Boy, oh boy. How about that? You know, his manager did him a great favor, but it just shows you how these players are. They get a little spooked and the travel and so on and so forth, but he showed up. His expectations probably weren't as high as they normally are, and he went away with his first tour victory, and I congratulate him, and he held off the number one player in the world. So what a week for him.
Great work, Charlie, and great work to Minwoo Lee. I mean, really just, you know, the 38th Australian to win on the PGA Tour and the second this season. Remember, the young phenom out of Stanford, Carl Phillips, won the Puerto Rico Open. So Minwoo is your second Australian PGA Tour winner this season and fifth first-time winner on the PGA Tour. So Minwoo moves up to 16th on the FedEx Cup standings, his career high, and he's moved from 55th to 22nd in the world. He's inside the top 25 on the official world golf rankings for the first time in his career, and we'll see him next week at the Masters Tournament at Augusta National. So, great stuff there as far as the Houston Open. Charlie, here at the Valero Texas Open, you had a couple of the top favorites missed the cut. Akshay Bhatia missed the cut. Ludvig Åberg missed the cut. Hideki Matsuyama missed the cut. Funny enough, we have not seen a player miss the cut in the week before the Masters and then go win since your guy Angel Cabrera in 2009. Can you reflect on that week in 2009? He was coming off a missed cut. What was that like going into Augusta National?
Well, the missed cut was kind of a misnomer because what happened, we were playing the Houston Open, and on the second day, the winds were so bad they had to stop play, and he was caught right in the middle of that. And so I picked him up on the eighth hole, and he said, "Hey, pro, let's go win us a major." So that started that week, and as we went into Augusta, we've been working on our strategy, our hit strategy, and his putting for a year. And he bought into practicing more, and boy, did it pay off. And now he's a Masters champion. You can't take that away from him. He's leading the Champions Tour event right now in Florida. So he's coming in raring to have a good tournament once again.
Charlie, I should have known leading up to the show that he had the lead on PGA Tour champions. I'm balancing quite a few leaderboards here with the Valero Texas Open and the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Great leaderboard there. Angel Cabrera in a five-way tie for the lead at the Old Course of Broken Sound at the James Hardy Pro Football Hall of Fame Invitational. In a five-way tie with some great players, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Alex Chayka, Thomas Bjorn, you know, incredible prep, Charlie, going into his first time back at the Masters Tournament in over 3 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he's really excited. And everybody knows his story. For the last couple of years, he had to give up golf and go pay the you know, he went to prison. And, and he's not ashamed to say that, but he paid his dues. And now he can pursue his livelihood and be on the golf course and have fun. And that's what I'm so happy for. The Masters champion in 2009, Angel Cabrera.
That's it. We're all behind Cabrera next week, Charlie. Let's go. He can still get it done. You know, we've seen your friend Freddie Couples contend over the years at Augusta well into his 50s. There's no reason Angel Cabrera can't do the same. Looking forward to watching him at the Masters tournament next week. Another question I have for you, Charlie. I've heard a lot of players this week, and defending champion Akshay Bhatia in particular, he said, you know, going through the Oaks course at the Valero Texas Open this week, he was more thinking about shots that he's going to need at Augusta National next week. You know, other players like Tommy Fleetwood and Ludvig Åberg, they said, you know, we don't think about Augusta National until the Monday before the tournament. Akshay Bhatia, a little bit different. He was kind of working on shots that he thought he might need at Augusta. Maybe that's why he missed the cut off a tied third-place finish at the Players. What was you and Cabrera's approach to the preparation?
Well, the preparation for Augusta is ongoing 365. I mean, it's such a great event for a lot of people, and some, you know, really aren't that impressed with it. But I know Cabrera... you know, he's played in it, and I think his first time was 1997 or something. And it was always one of his goals, like the British Open, you know, one of the four majors. And so they're always keying up for it. And but then if you're going to go play in the tournament in San Antonio, you better pay attention to your duties there, because that golf course is, you know, it's kind of like playing single file down these fairways they have there. So, you know, it's all, you know, each person handles their golf game and their golf business differently than everybody else. So, you know, what's good for one is not good for the other.
Charlie, we got to take a quick break. On the other side, we have John Wood joining us, 20-year veteran caddy, Matt Kuchar, Mark Calciavecchia, Hunter Mahan, now the best on-course analyst for NBC Sports. John Wood will join us on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Charlie, we have NBC on-course analyst and 20-year veteran caddy, John Wood, with us here live from the Valero Texas Open. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. And hello, Charlie, my good friend. I haven't seen you for a while. I miss you, buddy.
Well, John, it's good to see you out there and doing what you're doing. I mean, you've risen to taking the caddy business to a new level, and congratulations. Well, first of all, the one question I have for you, where's Hunter Mahan?
Hunter Mahan is pretty much done with golf. He's done a little bit of TV, but now he is actually the head coach at Argyle Academy outside Dallas of a high school golf team, and he is having a blast doing that. He's got a great personality for it, and I understand that he's just loving what he's doing, working with the kids.
Well, that's awesome, and now you have an interesting job, too, that's coming up in September. You're involved with the Ryder Cup, right?
Yes, sir. I got they invented this position for me, a team manager. So I'm just helping Keegan out and the assistants and the PGA of America as much as I can. Just being that I've been, you know, part of seven teams, that I know what goes on at Ryder Cups. I know what the players need, what the caddies need, and my job has mostly been to take as much off Keegan's plate as I can, so he can really focus on the players, the competition, the course, and some of the other, you know, stuff that's off that he doesn't need to deal with. I can handle a lot of that stuff. So that's what we've been dealing with, and Keegan's been fantastic.
Has your preparation for Beth
I think you should.
Go ahead, Charlie.
One thing, I think you should just kick those players in the butt and come home with a victory. Come on now.
I'm already on it, Charlie. They know I'm not messing around. They know how much I love this event. I love it more than anything in golf. So to be a part of it like this is a dream come true for me, and it is for Keegan as well. So I know Keegan's vision for the team is very similar to what you just said. Let's kick him in the butt and get him going.
Very good.
John, has your preparation for that already started, and does that include some strategy on the course?
It has started already. We've done a lot of work. A lot of the stuff has been detail-oriented, organizing the team room, the locker room, the hotel. But we've also been dealing, working with Kerry Haig from the PGA of America on course setup. And as you know, course setup has a lot to do with Ryder Cups, and that's a big home course advantage. When we go overseas, typically very tight fairways, very thick rough, slower greens, and just the opposite when we set up a course in America for the Ryder Cup. Not a lot of rough, very fast greens, and a lot of birdies. So we've made a couple site visits already to Bethpage. We'll do a couple more before the event just to make sure we've got everything where we want it.
Charlie, anything there?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do with those New York fans? They get out of hand.
I'm gonna tell them to be louder. That's one of the biggest advantages of a Ryder Cup being at home for both teams. You know, it's the same for both teams. We go over there, and it is tough, and it is tough to play. And you don't get, you know, partisan crowds too much in golf. Usually golf fans are pretty polite, but that's the one week every 2 years when you know you've got to put your earmuffs on and put your nose to the grindstone and play against the crowd. And you got to be up for the challenge.
That's awesome. That's going to be so much fun. Keep those guys in line.
You got it.
John, we have a really wonderful 36-hole leader here in 2023 Open champion. Brian Harman has a 4-shot lead over Keith Mitchell. Weather changing a lot here compared to the first 2 days. Can you talk about some of the challenges the players will face out here today?
Yeah, it's a completely different golf course than we've seen from Tuesday on. We had a south wind. It's been warm. Ball's been going forever. Today, completely the opposite. That front came through. I think we're done with the rain, but it's cool. It's windy out of the north, so every single hole is going to be playing the exact opposite of what it has in the first few days of the week. I think that favors somebody like Harman, who's played here a few times, and he's seen the course in different conditions because it's just completely different. You're going to get to holes where you hit driver on the first 2 days, and you're going to be hitting four iron off the tee, and vice versa. All the par threes, completely different. 13 has been a beast. It's been into the wind, downhill. It's still downhill, but much shorter because the wind is completely flipped. So, and same for 16, where Tony Finau made the hole-in-one. I think he hit 8-iron yesterday. Today that pin is back right. It's probably going to be 6-iron, maybe some 5-irons even, straight into that 20-mile-an-hour northern wind. So completely different golf course. Caddies are going to be huge this weekend in preparation, just figuring all that stuff before the round starts so their player's not surprised by anything.
NBC Golf Channel's John Wood joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. You've been on the bag for a lot of 36-hole leads and wins over the years on the PGA Tour. When you're holding a 4-shot lead like that, in the shoes of the player and the caddy, what is that preparation like for the weekend?
I think it's too early to start changing strategies. 4 shots on this course, especially with all the trouble that's out there, that can change in a heartbeat. So I don't think Brian will come out any differently today. Every par today is going to be good just because of the conditions are tougher. And he's that kind of player where he's just, you know, as Charlie knows, he's tough and he will not give you any shots where other players may do that. Brian's putting great. He hasn't putted well this year, but put a new putter in this week and has been every putt he hits looks like it's going in. He's in real control of his golf ball. And as we saw when he won the Open at Hoylake, these are the same conditions, cold, windy, and it plays right into his you know, gifts. So I think he's going to be tough to beat, but I don't think he changes anything yet.
Charlie?
Well, John, you know, the game is ever-changing, and it's always for the best, I think. But the guys are now, they get to the practice range, and they're able to bring in a device that can read every shot they make and tell them what spin rate, what do you think of that type of golf?
I think it's great for practice. I think some guys fall too much in love with it. That's got all the answers. That they look at the spin rate, or the, you know, they're coming from an angle of attack. It's taken a little bit of the artistry out of it, I think. And I think the greats, you can be very good learning off a TrackMan or whatever you might be using. But I think to be great, you've got to be able to throw that information away and say, okay, that might tell me that, but I know for a fact that I need to hit this shot down and take spin off it, and that's not going to tell me how to do that. It's a feel thing. I think Jordan Spieth is a player like that these days. Tiger, obviously, you saw that. Angel. I mean, Angel is a shot maker and always has been. You know, and there's a lot of guys who live and die by one stock shot these days, and that's fine. You can become very, very good. But when you get in those situations where your stock shot is not going to work, no matter how good you hit it, you've got to be able to adapt. So I think there's a time and a place for those things, but you have to be able to go off map on that and trust yourself and your feels.
Charlie?
I like that. Yes, sir.
Well, John, you know, as far as, you know, a couple other players on this leaderboard, you know, some of the favorites going into the week, Jordan Spieth, his game, you know, three-time major champion from Texas, his game feels so close, and you can tell that in the pressers. You know, he said he felt like he was a lot closer at Valspar than his final result said at the end of the week. How good do you feel about his game going into Augusta?
I was out with him on Thursday. Looked fantastic. I mean, he drove it great other than one drive on 17, which he ended up making birdie anyways. The thing I liked watching Jordan is sometimes he can look fairly indecisive. I mean, a lot of back and forth with Michael Greller, who's one of the best caddies in the world, and on the greens. I thought his process on Thursday was a lot quicker, more decisive, and especially on the greens. Once he saw what he wanted to do, he just got in and did it. And he's one of those players who I think when his front tires cross from Washington Road to Augusta National, something changes in his brain. So whether his game is great or a little bit off, I think that place inspires him so much that I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him right in the mix next week.
As far as the rough around the greens here at the Oaks course and from the approach, you know, Jordan talked about how it's actually a little trickier, how the rough's a little lower. Can you help our listener understand what he means by that?
It is. When he was on Smiley's Happy Hour yesterday, we talked about that a little bit, and it's a lot about reading the lie. When you have really thick, say, U.S. Open rough, there's no guessing there. You just take, you know, the most lofted club you think you can get out of there and swing as hard as you can. Here, you got to say, okay, it's sitting up a little bit. This might come out hot and, you know, no spin at all and be a flyer and go forever. I might catch it high on the face and it could come out dead. And especially around the greens, it's the same thing. You can get little flyers around the green that you're trying to hit, you know, 20 feet, but they come out, fly 25 feet with no spin whatsoever. So that's the tough about the rough like this week and last week is reading the lie. And same thing at Augusta. You got to be able to read it. It's not just get in there and hack at it. You've got to be able to decipher what it's going to do and then execute and say, I'm going to try and take a little jump out of this, maybe shallow out the swing a little bit easier. And other times you're going to say, I want this to jump. I want this 9-iron to go 180. So you throw it back in your stance, get steep on it. So there's a lot more to it than just getting up there and hacking at it. You got to be able to read it and execute what your plan is.
Charlie, any final questions for John before we let him get back to work?
Well, I just want to wish you luck for the rest of the year as you go through doing what you're doing now. And it's very evident that you're on the ball and you know the game. And so my last question is, how did you get into golf?
You know, I was a baseball player growing up, Charlie. Loved baseball. Still do to this day. I still think the Giants are going to give me a call for play second base for them at some point at 55 years old. But about 14, 15 years old, baseball was over for the summer, and my dad always played golf. I started playing golf a little bit and just fell in love with it. And just I got pretty good pretty quickly. I was pretty athletic. Had a great teacher named Judy Ghilarducci back in Sacramento. And my sophomore year, I kind of switched from baseball to golf, and that's how I got into it. So it's funny how life happens, isn't it? Something like that switches, and here I am today, just luckiest man in golf.
Did you ever run into Bobby Eastwood?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. I knew Bob, absolutely. There's a good Sacramento golf scene, you know, for a long time. So I did know Bob, absolutely.
With Bobby and I ended up playing Army golf together in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and we played the first tour school together in 1969, which he won. But Bobby was a good guy, good player, and well, I congratulate you on your new career and are really doing a good job for golf, and we'll see you down the road.
Charlie, thanks very much. I miss seeing you, my friend, and good luck to your guy out there on the Champions Tour. I'll be rooting for him. Always had a great time with Angel.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy.
That's John Wood, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. In case you missed that, you can find it on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour podcast after the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
April 28th through May 4th, the Insperity Invitational takes place at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course as the PGA Tour Champions travels to Texas. You know, you're going to have really just an incredible field there. Scott Dunlop is the defending champion. You know, you're going to have Jack Nicklaus. You're going to have Lee Trevino, Gary Player, Sir Nick Faldo on property for the Greats of Golf competition presented by Folds of Honor there on Saturday of that week of the Insperity Invitational. In case you're not there, in case you can't make it to the property, that's no problem. The tournament's going to have 3 days of tournament coverage on Golf Channel. Friday, May 2nd to Sunday, May 4th, all competitive tournament rounds going to be broadcasted there. And Charlie, you know, this is all thanks. You know, this tournament just would not take place without the great leadership at Insperity and Steve Arispe and Paul Sarvati. Talk a little bit more about the company that business owners can go to if they want better HR performance.
Well, you know, it was a company that was started in 1986 in Houston, Texas. Paul Sarvati had a vision, had a desire to put together a company that would help small business grow. And Insperity started out as a small business, and wanting to help people run their business more efficiently and help them with HR problems and so on and so forth. And lo and behold, after all of those years, they have 4,000 professional employees that help small business all over the country. And if you're in a small business and you want some help, you want some support, give Insperity a call. Log on to their website, insperity.com, and find out what they do. And you're going to find a company that is so well run and is so well positioned to help the average business succeed. I can't tell you how proud I am to have them as a sponsor all these years for the golf show, but more importantly, their friendship. So Insperity is an incredible company, and we couldn't be luckier, could we, Will?
Charlie, you are exactly right. This is a company that really puts the community at the forefront. They're looking out for Houston and all the foundations, Remind Support, many other companies that Insperity greatly helps with to help benefit the Houston community. That's what they put first and foremost. And yeah, if you're a business owner that wants the best HR and payroll performance, please contact Insperity. Go to their website, insperity.com.
and get the help you need to see your company thrive and grow. And that's number one. Number two is, you know, really it's important to get out to the Insperity Invitational, the PGA Tour Champions event at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament Course on April 28th. And I've really found I learn a lot more, you know, from the PGA Tour Champions guys than a lot of other, you know, professional golf tours. The way they go about their preparation, the way they play the course, how smart they are, the decisions that they make going around their competitive rounds. I think the viewer can really learn a lot, Charlie.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's another week, and we got the Masters coming up, the Insperity Invitational. So, my man, it's been fun being with you. You have a good weekend over in San Antonio. Watch the Houston Cougars play in the Final Four. How about that? I think that's really exciting.
I'm rooting for Coach Sampson. I think the Houston Cougars can absolutely take it to the Duke Blue Devils. I respect what John Shire has done there at Duke, taking over for Mike Krzyzewski. But the Houston Cougars, they're too experienced. These are, you know, a bunch of juniors and seniors that are playing. They've been here before. I think three Elite Eights in the last, you know, 5 years, including a Final Four, I think, in 2018. Forgive me if I'm incorrect there as a golf analyst here. But I think as far as Kelvin Sampson always puts out a great defense, and now they have some, you know, 3-4 year starters that can really shoot the ball from the perimeter. So, I seriously, non-biased. I'm from Houston, but non-biased. I think the Houston Cougars beat the Duke Blue Devils and are facing Auburn there on Monday for the national title, Charlie.
Go Cougars!
Now, before we go, you know, we got about we got about 4 or 5 minutes here. I want to take you through a little bit of sound from the leaders and the contenders here at the Valero Texas Open. You know, Brian Harman, he's holding his eighth 36-hole lead on the PGA Tour. He is 1-for-7 to date, but his last 36-hole lead was the 2023 Open Championship, and he had no problem closing that one out. I think with some of the weather coming in, as the great John Wood was talking about, I would not be surprised whatsoever if Brian Harman goes ahead and finishes this tournament off. He's yet to record a finish better than 25th this season. Here was more from Harman on that.
It has been a slow start. It just a little uncharacteristic, and I've been pretty frustrated. I haven't really been able to put my finger on, you know, what it is that's kind of holding me back. So nice to take a couple weeks off and regroup and at least have a couple nice days so far.
Keith Mitchell is the chaser going into the weekend. He's in solo second after rounds of 64-72. The 64 on Thursday was flawless from Keith. He was number one in approach. Yesterday, the irons regressed just a little bit en route to that even par 72. But Keith did a great job grinding it out, made a lot of birdies to offset his bogeys. And at the end of the day, you know, he wasn't too happy about his round yesterday, but even par 8 under, still in contention, still 4 shots back from Harman. He was Mitchell after the second round yesterday.
Yeah, a little up and down. Kind of hit, made a bad swing on 18 and bad swing on 1 tee. Other than that, I kind of hung in there. Wish I got up and down on 7 and 8, but all in all, you know, I'm still in there. I wish I was closer to Brian than I am, but glad to make par on 9 so I could stay in the last group, at least for now.
Are there any particular parts of today's game where you're proud of? Or, like you mentioned, hanging in there. I think you said
I birdied 5 and 6, which was nice. I really made a good swing on 7. I probably hit the wrong club. And then you had a good chance of birdie on 8, too. So just, you know, it wasn't my best, but, you know, thankfully I played great yesterday and have 2 more rounds.
Mitchell's looking to grab that final spot for the Masters tournament next week, and what a great place to do so. Keith Mitchell in his fourth career start at the Valero Texas Open. You look at the last 3 years at this his last 3 starts at this tournament, he's gone 26th, 17th, 14th. So, you know, Mitchell loves this golf course. He's a great driver of the golf ball. I think he'll stay in this tournament as long as he can get that iron play back on track. And, Charlie, another player I'm really watching going into this weekend, that's Daniel Berger. He's at 6 under par, 6 back of Brian Harman going into the weekend. Berger shot 4-under yesterday in what was a great round. He's been playing phenomenal this season. And this is a Daniel Berger, a four-time PGA Tour winner, who, you know, is coming off a back injury that took him out of the game for 2 years, but he's had just a phenomenal return to golf. Here was Berger after round two on the next stage of his career.
Well, I think I don't take anything for granted. You know, earlier in my career, I maybe would have skipped a few of the essentials that I would never skip now, whether that be in the gym or the recovery component of it. But I think I'm much more of a professional now than I was early on in my career. And I think that I'm still young in the golf world, 32. I feel like I have a lot of golf left in me and a lot of, you know, good golf left in me. So, you know, like I was telling Damon, I think missing that year and a half was actually a huge benefit to me because I learned things that I would have had to learn the hard way if I hadn't gone through that experience.
Charlie, that was possibly my favorite interview of the week right there. You know, in the oldest levels of the game on PGA Tour Champions, you have Angel Cabrera, who's in the lead there at the Champions Tour event this week, and he's coming off a couple years of some great learning. You know, tough but definitely beneficial learning lessons. I think Daniel Berger, you know, maybe in a little bit of a, I don't want to say they went through the same thing, Charlie, but Berger definitely off a couple years where he's learned some life lessons as well.
Oh, sure. And they're two different people, but they were away from the game, and they made him appreciate what a game it is, and they come back, you know, with their mindset and their. They learn from their mistakes, and that's what we all can do. And whether it's an injury or a mistake of judgment, you can get back to the game, and the game's forgiving. It'll allow you some mistakes and come back. There's been a lot of guys come back to the game like these two, like Gary Woodlands. I mean, so life's full of people that have made mistakes and come back to their businesses and been very successful.
We got great work today, Charlie. We got to get out of here. A couple things to watch today. NBC is going to bring you both of them. First, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. The final round of that will take place this afternoon at Augusta National Golf Club. And then the third round of the Valero Texas Open as Brian Harman goes into Saturday with a four-shot lead at 12 under par over Keith Mitchell. Charlie, it's been a privilege to talk with you this morning. We had NBC's John Wood on at the halfway point. In case you missed that, you can find that on Apple Podcasts and Spotify after the show. Charlie, let's have a great week. We'll talk next Saturday for the Masters Tournament.
Well, you have a safe weekend, and we'll see you next week, and a great job.
Thanks, Charlie. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Back to you next Saturday.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch.
Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.